And there came a day, unlike any other, when a group of like-minded individuals were united in deep discussion through a weekly movie podcast. On that day, that film stew was born, to bring you reviews and news about the latest and upcoming movies and TV shows. This is That Film Stew.
Hello and welcome to That Film Stew. I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
And this is That Movie Review. Today we will be discussing Deadpool. As this is a movie review show, there will be spoilers. Jason, do you want to go ahead and give us a plot?
Oh yeah, for sure. Alrighty, so in a way, the eighth installment in the X-Men film series, the film follows Wade Wilson, who after being subjected to an experiment that leaves him with new abilities, becomes Deadpool and hunts down the man who nearly destroyed his life.
I've been wanting to talk about this movie with you for such a long time.
You look really excited.
I'm really excited.
I'm a bit nervous.
I don't want to show my cards too early on my verdicts for this movie. But just been waiting to talk about it.
I obviously hated it.
Now, if you've seen this movie, hopefully you have. We've given the spoiler disclaimer. So I was going to start with, who is Deadpool? I think this movie did a pretty good job at outlining exactly who Deadpool is. So I'm not going to
go on that too long. Okay.
We know. The Deadpool breaking the fourth wall.
Boom. Okay.
A big part of the comics. They made it work on screen. Did you have any concerns going in that story it just wouldn't work?
It was definitely, I guess, a matter to have concerns with. How are they going to do it? Will they pull it off? In what way are they going to do it? I think they did it fine. I probably would have liked a bit more of it, maybe, just to really hone it in. One thing I did think that was going to happen was they were going to sort of have his break in the fourth wall related to, you know, his mental illness and something like that. And so, you know, all the other characters would just be like, oh, he's talking to himself because he's crazy. But I don't think they really addressed that as much as they probably could have, should have.
I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because, I mean, I'm coming from a place, I know you are as well, of knowing the character from the comics. So where we could be filling in certain gaps ourselves. But saying that, I think they did it just enough. I mean, I agree, they could have done it more, but this is a pretty full-on movie and a faithful adaptation, and I think they just did it enough. I think there were a moment where Deadpool cleans something off the camera lens, or he moved the camera, and like I said, he does talk to the camera. But no, I think for this movie, I think they did it enough.
Yeah, okay, no, fair enough.
So talking about breaking the fourth wall then, do you have any highlights?
Oh, definitely. The one standout moment, breaking the fourth wall, referring to Professor X and asking if it's whether McAvoy or Stewart. Which one? And then referring to the X-Men timeline and being all confuzzled about it.
And that's with Colossus taking him to the X-Mansion. And just on the mansion, so Deadpool, he rocks up, knocks on the door, and, you know, we've not mentioned his character's name yet, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
What a name.
Now, that is a name. So you get two X-Men in this movie, mentioned Colossus and Warhead. So Deadpool's knocking on the door, and do we call it Negasonic or do we call it Warhead? That character, she opens the door, and Deadpool just remarks that each time I come here, there's only one or two mutants that answer the door. Yeah. You know, is that because paraphrasing, but like the studio can't afford the budget to use
beautiful,
other X-Men?
Beautiful moment. Lovely.
Which I think, you know, there's some truth to that.
Absolutely. That's what makes it brilliant.
Also with that as well, that was actually a line made up by Reynolds on the spot.
And they just went with it?
Yeah, the intent was to make the writers of the movie who was on set at the time, to make them laugh.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the many ad-libs that are in this movie.
Wow, so
a lot of the quips, they are Reynolds.
Which is a testament to the guy, you know? Like, it's his role. He's really made it for himself, and I don't think any more can be said about him. It speaks for itself. Ryan Reynolds is this movie.
Okay, I didn't intend to put it in here, but yeah, I was going
to
say that.
We can get back to it.
I was going
to
say that. Like, everybody sees Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Tony Stark, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. We're just one movie in, two, I guess, if you count Wolverine Origins, but I don't think anybody wants you to do that, including this movie. Ryan Reynolds, I think he will, moving forward, always be Deadpool. We could be talking decades from now, and he could just provide the voice. As long as he's got that mask on.
Oh, well, yeah, we don't need to see his pizza face anymore.
Ryan Reynolds, I think. So it could just continue, you know, either showing up in an X-Force movie, X-Men movie, or future Deadpool sequels. Just age isn't a factor. Just keep on going.
Oh, definitely.
But just one more thing on the breaking the fourth wall. Reynolds related, well, all Reynolds related, really, all Deadpool related, is before he's experimented on, they don't call out Weapon X, but again, taking from the comics, we'll assume that's what it is. He requests that they don't make the suit green or animated, which is one of two Green Lantern references. I think we got one in the opening
Title sequence. Yeah, very beginning, you see a picture of them.
And jumping all over the place here, but that opening title sequence, you know, written by, what was it, like a couple of douchebags and, you know, some goth girl.
Yeah, it was like starring like a sookie teenager or something like that.
And we got a couple of Hugh Jackman Wolverine references. At one point, Deadpool does a Aussie accent. And then jumping ahead, when we get the finale, he removes his mask, he's wearing a People's Choice magazine Hugh Jackman cutout. There you go.
He did it. He's in the movie. That counts.
Just on Hugh Jackman, again, kind of jumping all over here, but there was a recent press junket for Jackman's new movie, Eddie and the Eagle. Have you heard of
this? Oh, yeah, yeah. And,
and Ryan Reynolds interviewed him.
Yeah, really nothing to do with that movie whatsoever. Just sat down with him.
But it's just another example of the marketing for Deadpool has been absolutely incredible. This is an R-rated movie. Now, our cousins in America will know it's an R-rated movie. Here in Australia, it is a MA-15+.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, saying it's an R-rated movie is a badge of honour, but it's not one we get to wear in Australia. But it's fine. You know, we get
And MA it still has a restricted audience here, 15 plus, boom.
I mean, you're still getting the violence, the bad language, sexual content.
Oh, there's sexual content.
Humour. It's all there for everybody to see.
Do we need to go into and explain some of our favourite crude sexual content moments?
How about if you want to lead and I'll join in?
Actually, where do we start? What was the worst swear word? Oh, we probably can't even address them, can we?
This is a clean podcast, Jason. A clean podcast talking about Deadpool.
I guess, actually, yeah, it speaks for itself. We probably couldn't even go, the decapitations.
Decapitation, blood, all of that gory stuff, it's all in here.
That's all in there. The nipples. I think we even saw a little bit more of some other lady parts, just very briefly, without briefs.
Another R-rated or MA-15 Marvel movie referencing this film is Blade 2.
Blade 2, yes. Which is interesting, not Blade 3, which also stars Ryan Reynolds.
But I remember watching Blade 3 or Blade Trinity, and one of the characters played by Patton Oswalt wore a Fantastic Four t-shirt. Back in the days of Blade, that got me excited. It meant nothing. And here we are now with the Marvel Studios movies, Fox, and everything else. To Deadpool and his friends, the X-Men universe, would you consider Deadpool canon?
No, I really wanted you to answer this question. Like, this is an X-Men movie, is it not? I mean, X-Men are in it. They're in the X-Men world.
Yeah, I'd class it as a X-Men movie.
The question is, if he's canon, where does he fit sort of? Like, let's make an attempt to try and work out where the timeline is, what's going on.
Well, this is going to be difficult because the X-Men films, the timeline has always just been all over the place.
But it seems to be clean and fixed now.
Kind of. And they did that with the last X-Men movie, so just as recent as Days of Future Past. Yeah,
which was set in the 70s, so everything after that has been reset.
They have. Okay. I mean, X-Men Origins Wolverine, you had Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson. Well, that movie took place in the early 70s, or at least.
So would that have been before or after the time reset in Days of Future Past?
Let's
answer the question, damn it.
Let's assume. Answer the question. This film is contemporary. So he's not seen in his 60s. He's not aged. It's a present day movie. So I'd say it's not intended to be the same version, although we do get a connection. During a flashback, we see an Origins Deadpool action figure.
Yeah,
but that's just a cutaway joke for the audience.
Maybe more the question is Wolverine Origins canon?
I'd say no.
Which I think to say no, even helps a lot.
Even without this movie, I don't think anybody consider that movie canon.
There was too many errors in that anyway. The ages of certain characters.
Well, even if you're looking at... Okay, so for me, The Last Stand, the third X-Men movie, derailed a lot, and they tried to cram too much into that movie.
But then Days of Future Past fixed that.
It did fix that. But then even First Class, which I was thinking that was the one that was going to come in and fix it and start anew, that had a young... Oh, that had an older Emma Frost. Okay, we're ignoring. What we're going to do right now, we're going to put a pin in this conversation because the X-Men timelines, they don't make sense. Let's just take the timeline as the last 10 to 15 minutes of Days of Future Past, and then Deadpool just happens.
He's in that world, yeah. Whatever that is.
But even Colossus. Now, I've got to be honest, this is my favourite Colossus in Deadpool. I always liked the portrayal by Daniel Cudmore. So we first saw him in X-Men 2. He went all metal once.
And then he was in The Last
Stand. And then he came back in The Last Stand. And he's in Days of Future Past as well. But then we got...
Oh, yeah, of course, like in the future.
A new Colossus in this movie. A huge hulking Colossus.
Yeah, they're actually...
With a Russian accent.
And there are three people actually performing his character, which is cool. Stefan Kapisic does the voice. Andre Trichardtuex, I'm just making these names up, I think, he does the motion capture. And Greg LaSalle does the facial performance.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, I did read five, but I couldn't...
Oh, five, well,
but
then.
I don't know who the other two people are. But
someone did his feet work. Or...
Yeah, because someone was like just doing the jaw work.
What?
Like, when he was talking.
I thought three was like, cool.
I mean, the guy that was like doing the body of Colossus was a massive guy, and they had him on platforms, like just making him even bigger. And there was a lot of good sight gags with Colossus being as big as he was, like in the back of the taxi.
Worst bit with Colossus was him vomiting. Something just it wasn't right.
I liked it.
It was...
Okay. Deadpool... It's a comedy.
Yeah.
It is a comedy.
It's a comedy.
And I've got
movie,
to give it credit as well for being a comedy. It's probably the funniest movie I have seen in the longest time. So any upcoming comedies, they're trying to take the title from Deadpool. So him just being sick. I mean, Colossus is like, it's like a farm boy. Like Clark Kent.
Exactly,
he grew up on a farm. So I can believe, although he's big, he's strong, he's got metal skin. Yeah, he's seen some pretty gross things.
He's a goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, come on. Deadpool will make anyone sick. Now, we've already mentioned Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Give her a full name. Now, she was a mutant introduced by Grant Morrison and Frank Quality in New X-Men 115. Not sure if you knew that, Jason.
Sure.
If I'm honest, I researched it.
Okay, cool.
But yeah. If you knew it,
and
brilliant.
You just told me, so that's good.
But she was actually killed in her first appearance.
Ah, good times.
She's turned up a few times since, but never in any significant length of time.
So
now, the fact that she came back, that's X-Men all over. They always die and come back. But I think this is an example. So they got Colossus, which is a big X-Man get for this movie, in my opinion. Well, I'm sure they struggled to make a fuller roster, and they ended up pulling out an obscure character. Because I think I heard at one point Cannonball... was a member of the New Mutants, he was going to be in this movie.
Oh, okay.
So, but I do think now moving forward, that character, Negasonic, was strong enough in this movie that if we're going to get a New Mutants movie, we're going to get more X-Men movies or an X-Force movie. There's talks of Ryan Reynolds wanting to do an R-rated version of that.
Oh, cool.
That she could appear again.
And obviously sticking with Brianna Hildebrand, who plays her in this film, they would move forward with her.
Yeah, well, that'd be my guess. And she was dressed, she had the black lipstick, the short Sinead O'Connor shaved head, and then she was wearing all the black. But then when she took her jacket off and she was wearing the yellow and blue X-Men costume, loved it.
That was cool. But like having those two together kind of, it let them sort of give us a sort of an X-Men in training sort of mentor student moment thing. Like that kind of story element, which I thought was something a little bit different they haven't done in X-Men. Not to the extent on like one-on-one.
Well, you got to see them training in First Class, but no, I get your point.
Yeah, just sort of going on their own adventures, like, this is my student.
I didn't like, though, Colossus and, let's just call him Negasonic, constantly attempting to get Wade to become an X-Man.
Yeah,
They were trying to, reform him, and that's fine. But the question, though, is Deadpool a mutant?
Did they do something to him that made him have the mutant X gene, or did they just mess with his... biology that gave him those powers?
Putting the comics to one side, because just talking about the movie, it's what the movie is saying, and this is, you know, to consider Deadpool canon, which I think if Fox don't consider it canon after how successful this movie's been, that'd be a huge mistake. The movie is saying that, yes, you've got mutants, naturally born mutants, but then you've also got humans that have a latent mutant gene.
Mm.
High stress, like, you know, saw Deadpool get put through a lot, you know, they cut off oxygen, you know, they really cut him up pretty bad. And that activated his mutant gene, which was a healing factor.
So if it is actually a, like, changing his gene or activating it, then yes.
I mean, technically, it would make him a mutant. And again, if I'm the big guys behind X-Men at Fox, I'd class him as a mutant.
Yeah, because I know, like, if you go look at the comics and say you have someone like Spider-Man who got his powers from, you know, other means, he might be referred to as like a mutant, but technically he's not.
Yeah, Spider-Man, yeah, he isn't a mutant.
Like, he's not a mutant, but he has superpowers.
Yeah. But like I said, he was a radioactive spider that bit him and that gave him his powers, whereas...
But that didn't activate like a mutant.
No, so Deadpool wasn't necessarily injected with a serum. Let's just say he's a mutant.
Yeah, I reckon they activated his genes and it happened.
Okay, the girlfriend, the friend, the blind roommate, and the villains. Did any stand out? Did you like the villain? Did we get a strong British villain in this movie?
Meh. Yeah.
Francis.
Yeah, like...
Or Ajax.
Great for a joke, or for the ongoing joke. So, yeah, in terms of the villain, Ed Skrein, yeah.
The new Frank Martin in the Transporter reboot.
Perfectly fine role, but nothing like over the top or, you know, anything really memorable. He's just a bad guy doing bad guy things with a British accent.
He did exactly what he needed to do in this movie. Like, you couldn't challenge Deadpool and try and get a villain bigger than Deadpool because it's just not going to happen. This is Deadpool's movie, which is good to see in a, well, I'm not going to say superhero, but super person origin story.
Yep.
Blind Al, you got some good moments. That's Al. She's blind.
Yeah, which Deadpool's roommate. He likes to mention a few times.
The ultimate odd couple, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, like, how does it play out in the comics?
It's the same.
It's the same thing.
It's the same, like, relationship. They have the same relationship.
It works because she's old and she's blind and she doesn't have to look at him, really. She can't see what he's up to.
I think that's a good thing, because otherwise she would have seen Wade's amazing baby hand, which is,
oh my god, what a disturbing scene.
Oh my word.
But at the same time, what a sick scene. What an awesome scene.
Deadpool cuts his hand off to avoid being taken by Colossus and Negasonic.
And just takes a little bit of time to grow back.
Slowly grows back, something that we don't see from Wolverine. Okay, love interest, Vanessa.
Can Wolverine do that?
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, really? So yeah. Like, if he cut off his hand.
I think it happens behind the scenes or behind the panels. But yeah, that's what had happened. Is it Marina Baccarin?
Yeah.
As Vanessa? Yeah. So we know her from Firefly. She's in Gotham. I thought she was good.
She was all right.
I mean, she is in the comics as well. She plays a character called Copycat.
Oh, right.
That's exactly what she can do. She can copy, like, fight moves.
Oh, true.
So whether they're going to use that in sequels, I don't know. But in this movie, although she starts off as a really strong, independent woman, she does become the damsel. But again, because this is Deadpool's movie.
Yeah. I guess they needed to turn back to normal superhero conventions and, you know, have someone to save. Otherwise, what's the point?
And that's what I like. This is a very conventional superhero movie.
Mm.
But almost because the tone and the nature of the lead character, it's thrown a lot of people off that they're not looking at it as being a conventional superhero movie. But it is.
It really is, like, almost to the point of, like, very predictability. But a lot of people have been referring to it as, or describing it, I should say, as like a parody, a satire on superhero film, which in one way it is, but in another way, it's not. It's just how the character is.
Okay. The non-linear storytelling. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm all for non-linearness of things. I enjoyed shows like Lost, the Saw movies. What else was there? Paranormal Activity. Well, I'm not, like, really talking myself up here. But yeah, no.
You forgot Daredevil. The Ben Affleck Daredevil movie.
If I mention that one, I'm really putting a nail in my coffin.
that would be my go-to, just with the comic book and Marvel comic connection. I'm not the biggest fan because I don't like to see where I'm going. But for this movie, I think it works. And I think it really helps the movie's budget.
Because, well, even Batman Begins did it. Sorry.
Oh, he did. Yeah. But if you look at the, you know, this is what, okay, this, in a nutshell, is Deadpool. It's an extended action scene with flashbacks and a final fight.
To the actual story.
That's the movie. So it's not a lot, really. Like, they spend so much time on that bridge, and that scene we see in, you know, pretty much all the trailers. But if they played the film in order, it just wouldn't track the same.
There would be a very inconsistent flow of energy throughout the whole movie. It would start with him sort of doing his thing and being a normal person, well, a little bit crazy, but normal. And then, yeah, like, one action scene, and then one final action scene, and that's it, boom. So, and it doesn't drag. No, even though you go back to that bridge multiple times, well, like three or four times, probably more, five, does not get old or stale.
And it really speaks to the character of Deadpool that it makes sense for his origin story not to be told in a linear fashion, that it's just all over the place. Now, this wouldn't be a Marvel movie without cameos. Well, a Stan Lee cameo, more importantly.
Which, his seediest cameo yet.
We did see him as Hugh Hefner, I think, in the
Not as seedy as this.
But yeah, okay, I'll give you that. There's a couple of other cameos as well. Rob Liefeld is one of the co-creators of Deadpool. He gets two cameos, his name on a coffee cup, and he also gets a name drop in the same bar, spoken by Wade Wilson in an early scene.
Okay.
And Fabian, oh, this is hard to pronounce, Nessessaire? Hopefully I did that justice. He's fellow Deadpool co-creator, and he has his name appear reversed on two separate street signs over the bridge, which, as we mentioned, Deadpool spends a lot of the movie.
Oh, wow, cool. Lots of Easter eggs there.
A couple of cameos there. But also we have character cameos. When Wade is being shown around Ajax's evil lab, he sees an activator mutant who has large bone spikes sticking out of their back. And it looks to be Marrow, who in the comics is one of the Morlocks.
Cool.
Morlocks is a group of disfigured mutants who live in tunnels underground. So they're not quite as glamorous as the X-Men. The other, which this is a surprising one, and very well, if you know the Deadpool comics, this character would have been a welcome surprise. Bob. There's a character, Bob.
Oh, Bob, yes.
So when you get into the fight scene, like the big finale, you see Bob. Now, in the comics, he is an agent of Hydra, who becomes Deadpool's unwilling sidekick. Hydra can't be used here because it's not part of the X-Men license. Well, yeah, still makes a cameo. And Wade leaves him alive, which means we could see him in a sequel.
Cool. He just knocks him out, doesn't he, after they catch up.
And there are other Easter eggs to the Marvel Universe. Jeremy, the pizza delivery boy, works for the pizzeria Feige's Famous Pizza.
Mm.
Shout out to Kevin Feige over at Marvel Studios. And some claim that the third act, and actually, this has been confirmed by concept art for the movie, the main fight scene at the end, I'm not sure if you picked up on this, Jason, but it is a decommissioned helicarrier.
Mm. Now that throws a few things into the works, doesn't it?
But this just works to the strength of Deadpool, like just by, you know, him stealing Bob, who isn't a Fox character, and using a helicarrier.
It's like, what's it doing there? What's going on? But it doesn't matter. It's not important.
But it doesn't have to because it's Deadpool. But I missed it watching it initially, and then, you know, based on concept art and other people talking about it as well, that it has since been confirmed. Like, yep, it is a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier decommissioned. Now, did you stay for the end credit scenes?
Of course I stayed.
Both of them?
I hope I did. Yeah, I think okay. So.
Let me try and refresh your memory.
The cinema was lit and the screen was black, so I left.
I guess you've seen it. Deadpool greets us in a Ferris Bueller-like bathrobe.
Yep, seen that.
Which I thought was cool.
Very cool.
He takes a jab at other movie end credit scenes, including those in Marvel movies. He then turns away from the camera and starts to walk away while saying, "What are you expecting, Sam Jackson to show up in an eye patch?"
Like a little bit, yeah.
Have you seen Beyond That?
I saw Beyond That, yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about now.
And then the second part then, Deadpool returns in his bathrobe to tell us that a new character, Cable, will be in the sequel. And Deadpool teases, "We just need a big guy with a flat top. Mel Gibson, Dolph Lundgren, Keira Knightley."
Keira Knightley, yeah. Interesting range of that one. I think this was expected, even if they didn't announce it in the movie, like Cable's coming. The question is, who's it going to be?
Not just who is going to play the character. How familiar are you with Cable?
Not really at all. I know he has a bit of sort of a connection to him. Task Force X, is that what he's connected to or no?
Okay. Well, X? I'm going to...
No, yes, no?
No, no.
Nope.
This is okay. This is for you, and this is for the listeners.
That's it. Not everybody knows.
I mean, some people might. Some people might not. So Cable was born Nathan Summers, the son of Cyclops and an evil clone of his wife, Jean Grey.
Well.
So, Apocalypse, someone who we'll meet in cinemas coming this year, X-Men Apocalypse, he infected Nathan, Cable, with a techno-organic virus to ensure he would never become a threat. Cyclops found his only option to save his son was to send him 2,000 years into an alternate future where Nathan embraced the name Cable to signify his link from the past to the future.
Okay, yes.
Whether they use that, because that's pretty confusing. And I've got to be honest, I did a couple of rewrites and had to strip it down because it was even confusing me when I was prepping it. That's Cable.
To be honest, I've never actually looked into the character at all. I've seen him in a few things, like already established as a character, but his backstory, wow, that's confusing. And
he has a flashing eye, a metal arm.
Yeah.
Okay, so from the three listed by Deadpool, the three actors, is any jumping out at you, it's Gibson, Lundgren, Knightley?
No.
My pick would be Stephen Lang.
Absolutely. And he looks like him.
Stephen Lang's pick would be Stephen Lang. He is actively campaigning on social media to play Cable.
Now, it works with Vin Diesel, so hopefully it works for him as well.
I mean, just give him a flashing eye, stick a metal arm on him. Done.
He already looks like him when he's just wearing a singlet. Like, I don't know, he looks good. Any other names, by that have popped up?
Ron Perlman, he always gets mentioned.
Nah, Stephen Lang all the way, I reckon. But if they went with Ron Perlman, that'd be all right.
I mean, my pick would be Lang, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. Now, Deadpool's finished. Everybody's watched the movie. If you want to go beyond that, you know, I guess the question could be, what comics should I read? This is what I've come up with. So if you want a starting point, your best bet is to look for the Joe Kelly written Deadpool series from the late 90s. These comics are the most obvious influence on the movie and feature characters like Blind Al, Ajax, and Weasel. So they're going to give you the flavor of the movie. We just want to quickly touch on Weasel. We didn't mention TJ Miller.
TJ Miller, yeah. Poor guy, sorry.
I mean, this was a small performance for him. Normally, he goes a lot bigger. And I think because he was countering Wade Wilson, I think Miller played it perfectly.
In a normal film, he would be the comic relief. And even his character is, I guess, the comic relief. But Deadpool's already there, relieving everyone of the comedy.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, but I don't know. It worked. He was there. A bit more humour to sort of bounce off Deadpool, but yeah.
Well, it sounds like I liked him better than you.
I liked him. It was fine. It's not exactly the biggest character that...
Two thumbs up for TJ Miller.
Two thumbs up. He's good.
Another rating. Let's go to the rating of the movie. Jason.
Okay. There are so many parts of this movie that I loved and they did perfectly, and as a film, it is great. As a Deadpool movie, I'd say it's perfect. But critiquing it properly, a lot of people are getting hyped over the difference that it is, the originality of it, the extent that the filmmakers have gone to produce what they've produced. But at the end of the day, if you take all those things aside, it's still not a perfect movie. It's very good, very entertaining, a whole lot of laughs. It's early days this year, but yeah, favorite movie so far. But again, it sort of falls into the category of the other X-Men movies, except it's just more violent, more sexual content, bigger language. Yeah, a 4. Which is, I was probably talking it down, but yeah, it's not a perfect film.
Okay. 4 popcorn combos out of 5.
Popcorn combos?
Yeah, I thought I'd get promotions. Come just be popcorn to a combo.
You get a drink and a chalk bomb.
That's it, you know. All the stops on this podcast. okay, so throughout the runtime, Deadpool earned its MA-15 R rating if you're in America, in spades, offering blood, guts, nudity, and everything in between. At its core, it is a revenge movie. It's an origin story. I was interested start to finish. I mentioned the non-linear storytelling, which probably helped me enjoy the movie more. Yeah, 4 popcorn combos out of 5. Cool. I think that's fair. I mean, this is a really enjoyable movie, but I can't say it's a 5 out of 5. It's a strong 4, just on the fact that I was thoroughly entertained start to finish.
It's definitely, the movie was made the way that the filmmakers wanted to make it.
Let's close out on some trivia. Okay, so in the comics, when Deadpool was first developed, he had so much in common with DC's Deathstroke, they decided to name him Wade Wilson as a joke. Deathstroke's name is Slade Wilson. So DC and Marvel are two very similar characters, yep. And the civilian names are very, very similar. And just one more thing on the comics. Deadpool was introduced into the comic New Mutants 98 as a villain. It was never meant to become the character he is today.
Oh, well, characters evolve, and I think we're all benefiting from the way that he turned out.
So, if you like what you're hearing, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. This and all of our other podcasts are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com. Thanks for listening.
Come to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.